Well, this evening, we'll go ahead and invite you to get situated. And we'll get started with Bible class. I don't know about you, but hearing and seeing Mr. Layton and Mr. James, that's does my heart good. And I think back to times whenever I was 13 and getting my first opportunity to speak in a congregation. And the very first time, you know, a little 5 minutes here and a little 5 minutes there, and it grew and grew and grew. And now I get to teach you guys. And, you know, it's a neat thing to be able to encourage them and to learn and to hear passion and excitement and open hearts. And so I'm just excited to hear those guys, and fired me up. I'm dragging a little bit tonight, and I don't normally like to say that because you know, I don't want to be a distraction, but it definitely fired me up. And so I'm excited to get to follow behind those guys. Did want to pass along, Debbie Hicks's mother, Wanda Glasson, passed away, and the funeral is going to be in Amarillo. So if you haven't heard that or haven't been made aware of it, that's Debbie Hicks's mother, Wanda Glasson, and the funeral is going to be in Amarillo. All right, so who remembers what we've been talking about since before Christmas? Everybody slept since last Wednesday, which is fine. I did the same thing. Sleep is good. Sleep is great. But that's one of the reasons why I try to come back and kind of remind us what we've been talking about. So right now we're continuing on our journey to refocus on Christ. We've been discussing reality, right? What's real life really like? What do we do? How do we exist? How do we live our lives out as Christians in the world today? Last week, does anybody remember what we did with the big board? We wrote down all the different things we're involved with, right? And, yeah, distractions and all these different priorities that pull us away and take our energies away. And we discussed about how sometimes that leaves us with leftovers for things that are really important to us. And we listed off a whole bunch of stuff, and then we hadn't even talked about spouses and other things that were still really important to us. And we made the comparison to how that works with goals and how can we focus on so many different things. All right, and we also talked about the fact that we're not perfect. And so hopefully we kind of broke the ice there in establishing the fact that folks that sit over here are not any better than folks that sit over here that are not any better, right? We didn't have anybody that protested whenever I pointed out folks that weren't perfect. So to me, that kind of shatters the glass that allows us to talk freely and openly on the fact that we're not perfect. We've also talked about drifting and lanes of traffic, right? How sometimes I like to look at stuff while I'm driving, which may cause me to go into another lane. And so I have to maintain my focus. I have to refocus on things. All right. So we have a lot of stuff that really distracts us from what matters. And tonight, we're really going to move into what I would like to do, and that's a standard, a pattern. If you were to define standard or pattern, how would you define it? I'll take all comers. Standard or pattern, how would you describe it? Yes, in the back.
Standard, a level that
you want to reach. All right. Others. Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right.
Patterns of the habits. You follow the same habit over and over and over again. You set up a pattern in your life. You always take the same road, the same
All right. All right, so we can have all types of standards. Yes. Something you measure against. All right. So I'm going to show you guys something, and I want you to help me understand what we're looking at, okay? And I'm not an artist by any stretch of the imagination, and I tried really, really hard. I was going to freehand it in front of everybody, but I got nervous and messed up. So just bear with me, and I want you to help me figure this out. And if it's too small, I'm sorry, but I think we'll be able to work through it. Y'all don't get to see. All right. So what I want us to do tonight is to look at what we have. So for you folks over here and you folks over there, can y'all see okay? Need a little bit further back? I don't know if I'll be able to get it all the way back. Is that any better? Okay. All right. So anything difficult to understand about this if you're on a roadway? What would you expect to see here? Speed limit sign? What about this one? Stop sign? Yield. All right. Those are patterns, right? Standards. We all expect that no matter what roadway we are in the United States, that these are signs that we expect to see, right? Okay. So what about this one? 1, 2, 1, 2, 1. All right. All right, what about this one? A, B, B, A, A, B, A. Okay. Y'all are an outstanding audience. Above average intelligence. You can now take the Wonderlic test in the NFL. All right, circle, circle, square, circle, circle, square, circle. Okay. Are any of those patterns or standards? Yeah. We're used to seeing this kind of stuff, right? Detecting it. We're trained at a young age, right, to do these things. Okay. So patterns and standards. All right, so the next thing, those are things that we're used to seeing visually, right? Okay, what if I told you this is approximately 2 liters? Is that a standard, a measurement we typically use, right? How about this? A cup? So what would we associate with a cup? How many ounces? 8? This one's a little bit bigger, so it might be 10, all right? But still, we associate this with a cup, right? All right. How about this? Whew. It's about all the work I get out of it. All right, so this one's 5/8. Standard of measurement, right? Okay. What about these? All right, so we can square things. We can draw straight lines, right? We want to make sure that the bubble's in the right spot. That's my technical association. All right, last but not least, not to be outdone, what do you do with this? Standard measurements that we're used to, right? 1 inch, 1 foot. All of these things are patterns and standards, right? We're accustomed to them. How did we grow to learn about these? What process took place for us to know what we're seeing? Somebody taught us, all right? They said, hey, these are important things that you're going to come into contact with in your life all the time. You need to know how to do these, right? Same thing with the clock in the back, right? Anybody ever have those dreaded worksheets that had the little clock on the piece of paper and you had to pick out the little arrow and the big arrow? It took me a long time to really appreciate those. And what about money? We ever have to look at quarters right? All these things, standards, patterns, models. Anybody like to bake? Any bakers? All right, a couple. Okay, so can you make neat things with cakes? What do we use to make neat things with cakes? Forms, right? We can make circles, we can make stars, we can make squares, rectangles, all types of different things, correct? Okay, standards, patterns, models. As a child, who or what did you want to be? Who or what did you want to be as a child? Spaceman. Acrobat. Actor. Anybody want to be a baseball player? Seriously? Oh, there we go. Yeah, all right. So I was exposed to sports at a really young age, baseball and football. I liked them. One of the fond memories I have of childhood is at a young age, we'd go to the Astrodome, and I would fall asleep in my dad's arms watching a ball game at the Astrodome. And I have another memory where we decided to leave the Astros baseball game because they were getting pounded. And my dad listened to it on the radio, which didn't make any sense to me. Why would we leave only for you to listen to it? And they came back and won. And so from that point on, we always ragged on my dad about, hey, we're not leaving again. And I don't think that ever happened again. But for us, it was fun to tease my dad about. Watching the Astros, I grew up loving a couple of baseball players. Maybe you've heard of them. Glenn Davis, Jeff Bagwell, and Craig Biggio, right? Some of those iconic guys that recently retired. Well, unfortunately for me, Jeff Bagwell was my favorite baseball player. And growing up, I tried to bat like Jeff Bagwell. And so I had my really, really wide stance, and I would squat down just like him, except I was in first, second, third grade. And what I found out is he probably had one of the most complicated swings in baseball, which didn't bode well for my swinging career. I remember how he stood. I remember watching replays and seeing, like, he had the most perfectly clean pants in comparison to Craig Biggio, right? His were white and Craig's were always dirty. But I just remember that crispness in the way that he functioned as a baseball player. And I remember hearing folks talk about the way he ran the bases. And so I practiced trying to run bases like he did to be a smart ball player. For football, I admired Jay Novacek, tied in for the Cowboys, as a good blocker and a good guy with hands, and he played for a winning team. There was a comedian in high school and junior and college that I tried to mimic as well, because I liked the way that he told stories, and I didn't think I was a very good storyteller, so I would memorize his and try to make people laugh with them. These are examples of patterns and standards that I would put myself up against and try to emulate and try to act like and try to achieve the same things that they'd achieved. I wanted to be a great ball player, so I emulated somebody that I admired. I wanted to make people laugh and tell good stories, so I emulated this comedian. Later in speaking, it was my hometown preacher, Mr. Gerald Elliott, that had preached a long time at my congregation. Later, it was a guy named Jeff Walling that spoke at a lot of youth events when I was growing up. One of the very first speeches that I did in junior high was a Martin Luther King Jr. speech that I memorized part of. I admired the way that FDR spoke to people through fireside chats, and so there were some of those that I tried to listen to. And even a professor at Oklahoma Christian Stafford North, in the way that he prepared his lessons. For finances, it was my aunt and uncle that I tried to follow. And later in life, it was Dave Ramsey and Larry Burkett, and lessons that my wife had taught me. For life, it was two youth ministers, one named Kevin Reynolds, that's a missionary, and another by the name of James McAdams, folks that I could talk to about my life and what I was going through at the time. How many of us try to categorize and standardize things in our lives? Did you notice anything about some of the examples I gave you? For baseball, it was this person. For football, it was this person. For speaking, it was this, this, and this person. For life, it was this person. We tend to categorize things. We tend to have a standard in our life. And basically, what our whole class is about and what all these series of lessons has been about is trying to understand ourselves and understand our lives and understand our routines and to get at the heart of the matter about what's getting in the way of our relationship with the ultimate standard. So who is the ultimate standard? Jesus, God, right? That's what life is all about, is trying to emulate him, right? That's what a lot of things revolve around with in our lives. In baseball, I never hit like Jeff Bagwell did. In fact, I don't remember if I ever got a hit in a baseball game at all. I was a miserable failure when I think back about it. In practice, I would crush it all the time. Maybe it's because my coaches lobbed it nice and easy for me, feeling bad for the big kid that couldn't hit. But I could never achieve what he achieved. And the same is for football. The same for the others that I've mentioned. I will never achieve or do what they've done. But one of the things that I did learn is that for me, I just have to be me. I just have to be me. And even though Jesus is a standard in a lifestyle, a person that I emulate, I miss the mark. I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 2. I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 2. And the purpose of the different verses we're going to look at tonight is to look at the standard, look at the pattern, look at the descriptions and the illustrations, that the comparisons that are made about Christ. So starting in verse 10, "And bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again he says, 'Here I am, and the children God has given me.'" Verse 14, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted." So what do we learn about in talking about standards and patterns? What do we learn about with this portion of Scripture? Anybody have brothers? Yeah. Family, right? What's family supposed to be? Perfect, right? No, family, well, we know, right? We're all in imperfect families. But the ideal family, right? A mom and a dad that love and care for you and spend time with you. And siblings that love you and care for you and play with you and encourage you. And you go on down through life, right, with all these whole perfect relationships. When we look at Jesus' standard and pattern, he was made like us in the form of humans with blood. He passed away through the death on the cross. He was resurrected He became like us to be able to share and understand and demonstrate to us life. Now, how many of us have been through temptations? Yeah. How many of us have been held in slavery, fearing death? The unknown is scary for a lot of folks. For surely it's not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he was made like his brothers in every way, so he could be merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He's able to help those who are being tempted. How many of you like getting help? Sometimes, yeah. We don't mind getting help. Sometimes we do mind getting help. But when you can't do anything, when it is physically impossible for you to do stuff, isn't it nice sometimes to have somebody come by and help you out? I think so. When we go through temptations or we go through trials in life, is it ever helpful to you to have somebody that's been through it? Anybody ever offered you help and assistance and assurance whenever you were going through something that they had been through themselves? It's a tremendous standard and pattern that we have in Christ. And in many ways, it's encouraging and should be encouraging to us that he came and shared life. He endured the things that we endured. Is any of that new to us in our understanding? Not really. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read starting in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Is that helpful to hear? Yeah? No? It's not encouraging? It's not helpful? Or it is? What do we like in folks that lead us? Tell me what you believe is helpful in a good leader. Confidence, enthusiasm, empathy, integrity, hurt another, experience, knows where he's going. Do we see any of those in Christ? Yeah. Absolutely. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. You know, I just can't help but thinking about the fact that he was tempted. And how many different ways and times we're tempted. Yet was without sin, and that's something that we always talk about, that will never be sinless. And that's why it's great to have grace. But what are we striving for? What are we striving for? Are we striving for perfection? Yes? I want us to turn over to Philippians chapter 2 in our efforts. This is a verse that I've probably used. Feels like I can't go very many lessons without having it somehow in there. But starting in verse 1 of chapter 2, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So he talked about a pattern and a template and a standard that we see in Christ. And we talk about trying to be like him in our actions. And really, to me, what it really boils down to, as we've talked about in the past, is our heart and our attitude and our frame of mind. While we may be trying to do these things, what is the purpose behind it? What was the attitude that Christ had that's so important? What kind of? Selflessness. Selflessness. Any others? Total devotion to what God wanted done. When we consider ourselves, how hard is it to always act selfless? How hard is that? Every day I struggle with being selfless. I have a lot of wants, needs, and desires. I want to eat breakfast. I want to sleep. I want to drive. I want to... What are some wants, needs, and desires we have? Anybody else? Our wants, needs, and our desires sometimes come into conflict with what God wants. And those are some of the things that we talked about in our past classes. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in our likeness, in human likeness. Now, how many of you want to take on the very nature of a servant and make yourselves nothing? Does anybody, in the examples we talked about when we first started, nobody said, I wanted to be nothing, a nobody, a servant. I didn't hear that from anybody. Yet, that's what we saw in Christ, is his selflessness and his desire to be pleasing to God. When we look at Jesus and we consider him as a standard, what do we see? What's the purpose behind our own lives? Yes. So Glenn, in three different of your life pursuits, when we talk about how we can serve, right, there are different aspects of life. So when I think about Glenn and different aspects of life that I've become familiar with, from selling insurance, funeral home, running for office, there are different things that I've seen woven within those. Our motivations are known, or are they? Can people always tell the reason why we're doing things? No. We can't always understand those. They're not always made clear. Some folks want to hide those very deeply within because they don't want you to know. But eventually they come out. Eventually we can see. All right, so looking at Jesus as a standard and as a pattern, we find that there's an attitude that he has, an attitude that he held in the way that he lived, right? And then in all those actions that we see that we want to emulate or be like, those are all carried out because of the attitude that he had with his life. All right, let's turn over to Ephesians. I'm going to read chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How easy is it to live a life of love when our being is self-fulfillment? How easy is it to live a life of love when we're concerned about self-fulfillment? Is that difficult or easy? If we're self-serving, probably can't. Why is that? It's hard to be that way. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When I think about life and when I think about patterns and I think about standards and all these different things that we've been trained up to know and understand, the same thing is true when it comes to when we study the Word of God and when we live our lives. The folks that I listed off about some of my speaking things that I wanted to emulate and learn from, a lot of the folks were men of God. And a lot of folks that had significant impacts on my life in a good way were men of God. And the pattern and the example that they set for me in the way that they acted and engaged with me. They acted in ways that were not self-serving. They were selfless. They were self-sacrificing. When we look at our lives, how many people do we interact with on a day-to-day basis? Anybody want to take a stab at it? I don't have any statistic, but I can think of, I interacted with at least 20 people today in a very short period of time. And then there were some folks that I spent a very significant amount of time with. And when I say significant, some folks may have been an hour, some folks may have been close to 2 hours, where we had a lot of time one-on-one discussing things. Is it always easy to act out of humility and selflessness when we interact with people? I'm sorry? Absolutely. We have all these things going on in our life, and we have these wants, needs, desires that we want to achieve. And sometimes we get into a competition with one another. Sometimes we hurt one another's feelings, and we don't live a life of love. What I would like us to do is to consider our lives, to think about the pattern and the standards that we have. Now, I laid out different aspects of my personal life and my personal growth and people that I looked up to, and patterns and standards. And ultimately, we have a very clear pattern and a very clear standard in Scripture. What is our life patterned after? When you reflect on your life and you reflect on the way that you live and you reflect on how you spend your time, your money, your effort, your energy, what pattern are you following? Are we following a pattern that works within what we read in Scripture? Do we follow the pattern of being an imitator of God? Do we follow a pattern of humility and selflessness to serve others with love? Or do we follow a different pattern, a different template? All of the different things that we looked at tonight on the board and in my bag on the table are different ways that we measure things to achieve a set standard, right? We follow the speed limit sign to stay within a specific measurement of speed. We follow the yield sign to prevent people intersecting at the same time, right? We learn to understand number patterns for problem solving. We use weights and measures to make very clear cuts. We have a very clear standard that gives us life, and life everlasting, and life that can free us from all of our fears. We have a tremendous standard, a tremendous pattern, and it requires our effort to know what that standard is. The same way that we had to be trained to know and understand the signs and to be able to pick up patterns and to be able to measure things requires the same effort and energy in our lives to know and understand the pattern that's been set for us. And we've all heard the illustration about agents being able to study dollar bills to understand when they see a fake, as they always study the real thing. So the encouragement and the admonition tonight is that as we look at patterns and standards in the way that our life, that we present to other people, what standard, what pattern are we actively pursuing with our time, effort, and energy? And I challenge you that if we look at Christ in a few subtle ways, that we'll see the attitude of selflessness, humility, compassion, and acting out of love for one another. And we will not always achieve that standard. But what we can do is to be the best that we can be individually and collectively as a congregation, collectively as a family, in and outside of these walls. If we do that, then we'll be able to positively impact the community and those around us for God's glory and ultimately be rewarded to be able to enter in and to be reunited with our Heavenly Father. Tonight, I want you to think about some of those things, about our pattern and our standard and the way that we use those in every day of our life all the time, and see if there are some ways that we can incorporate a better understanding of what we see in Scripture to make it more congruent with our lives so we can impact more people for His glory. Thank you.